right.
All right. 3, 2, 1, let's clap on
let's
three.
Let's go. Hello, hello, hello,
hello.
Welcome back.
It is us. It is the Vogelwild Brothers.
Back in town, Birdwild.
Back in town, and as you can hear, we're in the same town.
We're in the same town. We're
that here is crazy. Having a wait, can we make it clink for the gram?
Yeah, sure, for the gram. Cheers.
Mm. Mm.
Some alcohol-free beer.
Yes.
On a relaxing Monday evening.
Monday evening. Monday. Look at him losing track of time.
You know, I've had this here actually.
Like, yeah.
If I don't have a class or something, I'm just like. A day is a day, you know? It's the same with, like, public holidays. Like, if Yaro weren't here, I would not have known that the 1st of May was a public holiday. Because, like, everyone's just like, what do you mean holiday? It's grinding time, bro.
What is free time? Like, what is a weekend?
What is this notion you speak of? No, it's not necessarily that. It's just when you don't have these fixed, like, schedules.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like... just kind of lose track. You're like, is it Monday? Is it Wednesday?
I can't imagine. It's just, I also noticed that my job is giving me a lot of structure in my life.
Yeah.
Because it just means that on work days, you work. And then when there is no work, that instantly means, okay, this is a free day.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to take it for myself as a free day. My brain automatically switches into like off-season mode.
Yeah, I don't know what that's like, but sure.
Me. This is the world's smallest violin.
Yeah, for...
You know what's weird? Looking like into your eyes while we record this.
Oh, wow.
You know, me and Peter are sitting. Me and Peter are sitting.
Yeah, we're like, guys, we're 5 centimeters apart from each other.
How I want to record every episode.
Getting hot and steamy in here.
It's actually the opposite of hot and steamy. I'm cold, so I'm covered in a fluffy blanket. Shout out to Moni for getting that, actually.
This is actually my mom.
Oh, it was your mom. Yeah, never mind. And then I have wrong information.
Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, no, but we're here doing an English episode.
Doing an English episode due to popular demand, actually. we have 2 people from Fontainebleau who asked for this.
Yeah,
And a cat who potentially also asked for this.
Canu!
I mean, Canu has to listen to the episode now because we know it's going to be turned on the speaker.
That's the hope anyway.
You know how surreal it is? Like when we came into the room and Kat was like, yeah, I'm going to turn on your episode now. And then we just heard each other talking.
I like it. I have to say, I think I talked about this once as well, but like I did this with a friend once. I was like, yeah, you know, my podcast and shit. And we were just the 2 of us in the car and we put on the podcast. Like he was like, yeah, put it on. And it was the weirdest fucking car ride ever. Cause it's like, as someone listening, you kind of, you know, it's like when you watch, when someone shows you a YouTube video and you feel like you have to respond every 15
seconds.
You can't just watch it.
You have to like,
And so then it felt forced. And then it was just a weird situation.
A weird situ.
But anyway, Yaro's here in town.
I'm in town.
We've been having a jolly old time.
Jolly old time. Yes, we have. What did we do over the weekend? So I arrived on Friday and I had the worst airport experience at Oli.
Yeah.
Because a Bolt has a wrong pickup location at the airport. And then I ran from Terminal 3 to Terminal 1 panicking because the cab driver angrily called me and was like, you're not listening to me. You don't understand me. This is tiring. And I was just like, nah, where am I? I got my cab and everything was fine. It was a Lexus. And then we talked about German cars in French. And my French is not that good, but I can talk about cars all right.
One thing you can talk. It's funny, you know, like we went to get fries at this nice place here, Frittenbleu. If any of you are here in Fontainebleau, check it out. It's really good.
Yes.
And like I don't know, we talked to the lady who was like the woman who owns the place.
Like the head chef or something.
Something. And she was like, Germany, nice cars, clean cars. You know, I was like, oh, okay. But it's so true. Like you go around France and you just see like dented cars you would never see in Germany, you know, like...
Yeah, maybe in Berlin, because people, like, there it's a bit more crazy, but if you go to a normal German, like, small town...
And there's even, like, a small dent in it or something, like, it's a catastrophe.
You also get that cleaned out instantly, like, it's mostly covered in the insurance, because in Germany everyone has Vollkasko anyway, so the dents are just being polished out,
And here you just see people, like, missing headlights and shit, you know, like...
Cultural differences.
culture differences, where they'll push the cars around and stuff.
Yeah, but that's also a fun thing about Indonesia. When you park your car, you leave the handbrake down and the clutch undone, so it's not in gear. So when you park along the road, so then when like the people who park the cars want to fit another car, then they just push all the cars so wow. really close together. And then when you want to go out, they first push the cars like
Jesus Christ.
So you can get out of the parking spot wow. again. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
pretty wild as a system. I heard about that somewhere, but I was like, I don't know if I trust these people. Like, I don't know, just like it depends what kind of car you have, I guess. But just feels, you know, like there's the inner German in me is like, you got to put on your handbrake. You got to put something under the car so that it doesn't roll away.
Yes.
Like,
you have to put in the Lenkradschloss and everything.
Yeah.
But then also, I think most modern cars nowadays don't even have like a neutral. I mean, you can leave it in N, but I don't think you can take out the keys. Then you have to put it in park.
Yeah.
When you put it in park, it's already automatically in gear.
That's very true.
This is becoming a car episode. Maybe we're not going to talk about cars. I want to say before we get into this episode's topic, because most of you English listeners will not know this because you only listen to the English episodes. But the last
English episode.
Yes. But the last episodes we did, we didn't have a topic. And that was a reoccurring theme that, like, it was a meme when we started the podcast. Like, do we have a topic?
We have a topic every time.
And this topic is being supplied by my amazing girlfriend who said that this would be fun to speak about.
Exactly.
So thank you, Annie. She also suggested, actually, that we could talk about cars. She said cars or trains. I thought we could say bus. Maybe we could talk about buses. But
the thing is, like, with me, you have a guy who's just like car go fast, car good,
vroom,
vroom, vroom. Like,
car allegedly goes 250 kilometers
allegedly,
an hour.
Allegedly, that didn't happen. I was not in a car on a French motorway with 250 kilometers an hour.
That allegedly.
That would never have happened. But like, I sometimes feel like I should know these things. Like someone's like, oh, the Mercedes Lego G6, I feel like is what they're saying. You know, it's like the 350 cubic centimeters and like 500 horses and some shit. And I'm just like, you could literally put like any three letters together and I would have no idea what's going on.
Also a fun story, like I was texting with Annie earlier and she was in her car and she sent me a picture of her dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sort of trying to figure out what car that is. And she was like, guess. And then I just randomly was like, no, that is a Mercedes, definitely. And she was like, what the fuck? How do you know? I know my cars.
Yeah,
I know my cars. And I even almost guessed the model right.
Damn.
Yeah,
no, I have no fucking clue. Like, it's horrible. But anyway, so it's not an episode about cars.
Even though we talked about them.
It is
something that we have, I think, talked about in our private time. And I don't think this was I don't think this was fuck, I need to cut that out. Or not. This was not a topic on an episode we did yet. But recently, or like rather almost 2 years ago, you moved away from the city.
Yep.
And you moved to the, not French countryside, but suburbia.
Yeah.
Like proper suburbia. And as someone who has both lived in the second largest metropolitan area in the world and in a village with 2,000 inhabitants, I've also seen many sides.
Yeah.
And we kind of want to talk about like the differences between living on the countryside in villages and small cities and living in Berlin and how that can and potentially also does impact one's life and specifically our lives.
Yeah. So just right off the bat, I think it does impact a lot.
Yeah.
So like, you know, there's no going around that. You know, like here, bars are open till 1 a.m., right? It's like, it's closing time, you know, like one or two things are open a bit later, but that's kind of it.
Also during the week, are they open until 1 a.m. Or is that different?
I'm not sure, if I'm being very honest. Like,
also different.
I wouldn't know, like... I mean, I go out until 10, 10:30, then I'm like, all right, boys, it's time to hit the sack. I got to get up tomorrow. It's depressing because I don't need to get up the next day, but I just feel like I have to, you know?
We're old men.
Yeah, it's rough, but no, I'm kidding. But it's very quiet and there's not as many things to do on the weekend. So, you know, like when I was living in Berlin on a weekend, I'd get up. I just go to a cafe, then I'd go outside, I meet some people for a coffee, and then I don't know, I'd do something in the evening, I'd go to a bar, right? And like here, or if I was working during the week, I would maybe still go for lunch somewhere or something like that.
Yeah.
And here it's just not the same. There's like the university, you have like the castle, which is super nice, but it's just, it's very quiet. Like, you know, you have your friends, you do stuff, but in general, life is just quote, very quiet. Which is great for studying.
Yeah, but, absolutely. I can imagine. But then if you want to properly...
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's just a different way of living.
It is.
Because when I think about my daily life now, it's just... Yeah. It's always busy.
Mm.
I mean, I live in the Hinterhaus, which is like in Germany. Usually houses have like a front house and a back house.
Yeah.
And the Hinterhaus is usually much more quiet. Because you can't hear the road noises and everything. But I step outside of my door and I am in the middle of a crowd of people.
Yeah.
Especially during summer. And then also in the evenings. And it's just very much lively. But it can also get overwhelming at times, I feel like.
You know, I had this when I moved to Berlin.
Like
So I went there, right? Like, first of all, I didn't know whether my apartment actually existed or not, right? Because, like, it was just online and there were, like, all these scams, right? So I had, like, a video call and I was like... And then I had, like, my two suitcases. And so I arrived and I was, like, fully prepared for the fact that I might have just put 300 euros or something into the sand.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't have a place to sleep, you know. But so I got there. And, like, I remember the first time I was like, what the fuck are all these people? You know, it was like what the fuck is going on here? You know, it's like mid-August, which is, like, prime time in Berlin, right? And it's just so crowded, man. And I remember I was looking for some people I knew in a park, and it took me like forever to find them
because it's just flooded with people.
So many fucking groups of people, man.
Yeah. Also, this is true for me as well. Even being like now, I would call myself almost a seasoned zugezogener Berliner.
Yeah.
Like I have been living in Berlin for now over 4 years, I think, and I still need like a day or two of adjustment when I come back from somewhere else.
Yeah.
I was in Dresden with Annie over the weekend and then I came back on Sunday evening and then we took the U8 to get from my place to hers.
Yeah.
No other way around. And if you go from nothing to the U8
and it was
especially like a night that was full as hell.
Yeah.
We had a person just screaming randomly.
Yeah.
And we had like four people who asked for money. One of them without really wearing proper clothes and like everything. And and then you get out at Rosenthaler, the area where I live. And then it's just the people you see. It's just nothing.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't, it's not supposed to sound bad, but it's nothing like ordinary. If you would go to a southern German city, people there all sort of specific, look the same. I mean, with some differences, but pretty much people dress the same. People act the same. And in Berlin, I think the difference is that like a lot of people are so unique in their appearance and in the way they handle themselves.
That's very true. Yeah, but I do have to say, I remember that when I first got to Berlin as well.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, comparing it to some other cities I've been to now, it's actually not that bad. I was like, you know, I was in Switzerland before, right? a while. Like I did some, you know, I spent some time in France and like Marseille has its rough corners and stuff. Like, there's, you know, there's, like, a good quarter of Marseille that you're just not supposed to walk in as a tourist. Like,
fuck me.
You're not supposed to do that. But you normally also don't go there, so it's fine.
Okay.
But then I was in Berlin, and Berlin is one of these cities that, like, it doesn't have a specific area where there's homeless or anything like that.
Mm.
It's just kind of dispersed. It's the same. There is not really a city center or, like, a hotspot region. It's kind of like, it's this weird place where somehow everything... something is happening, but you also everywhere have people who are begging on the street or doing some other things. And so initially I was very, very like the first 2 weeks in Berlin, I was like, this is fucking shithole, this place. Like, it's fucking dirty. Like, people ask me for money all the time. And it's like, it's a very, you know, in Switzerland, you never see beggars. Like, there's like maybe two or three people you see and that's it. And like, you know, people who just like in Berlin, like in the metros come to you all the time. And then I was always like, yo, this is like tough as well, you know, because you're like, you always feel like you should be giving money.
Yeah.
But then you also somehow don't really want to interact. But then it's also weird because these people don't really, like, they just get ignored all day. You know,
that's exactly. And you don't want to, like, imagine.
Such a gut-wrenching feeling that you're like, you just, I remember once there was this guy who was like, why is no one hearing me? Like, do I not exist? And I was like, oof, that's rough. Put my AirPods back in. such a dick, man. Like, if I'm being honest. But, like, I was just like, I don't know. I just did not want to engage in that moment.
Yeah, you
know? Like,
absolutely.
No, but, I mean, it's a shitty thing to do. But at the same time, you don't always want to be. You know, it's not that I never, like, gave money or didn't interact or anything. But it's also, like, it's 7:30 in the morning or some shit. Yeah, you know? And like,
I'm not blaming you. It's just also when you're being confronted with it on a daily basis, you numb. Like, you get numb. Mm-hmm. It's just a thing. Like, us humans, we're getting used to things.
Yeah.
And I think you are also getting used to that.
I did get used to it by the end. It was, like, completely normal, you know?
Yeah. You're on the S-Bahn, and then there's just some people going through, and you're just like, yeah, okay. Sometimes when I have, like, 50 cents, and they don't look like they're going to spend it on drugs, I'm like, okay, here you go.
Yeah. You know, I think we've had this discussion, but at that point, I'm like, I don't really give a shit if you spend the money for drugs or not. Like, because, like... What I don't think a vegetable is gonna really change your like standard of living by a lot.
Actually,
you know?
Once I was running past a supermarket near Hauptbahnhof, and then a guy stopped me and was like, can you give me money? I want to eat something. I'm hungry. I want to go into the supermarket and buy something." And I told him, "Don't have cash on me, but I have Apple Pay on my phone. Tell me what you want. I'll get it for you from the supermarket." And then he looked at me and he was like, "Yeah, okay, I like. Can you get me a beer?" And I was like, "Okay, I'm getting you a beer." Because then I thought, okay, he's honest, and going in, and then I got him a beer.
And like, I know, I mean, you know, the goal is not to distribute drugs among the homeless. No. Like, I'm not saying that's what the state should be doing. But I'm also like, if you're living in that context, like, there are some people who like get out of it as well. But like, give a brother a beer, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
and he was honest about it, and he was really just like, "I really need this." I was like, okay, here you go. And then I got him an Augustina, because I was like,
"Oh yeah, if I'm good getting stuff. Him a beer, if you're getting him a beer, you're gonna get him a good
I'm
beer.
Not gonna get him a Sterni. Like, come on, like, making myself potentially a lot of Berlin enemies here, but I don't care.
Yeah, it's all good.
I was gonna get him a good beer.
A good beer. You gotta get the Bavarian beer, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the best one.
It's the best one.
Next
to the Belgian beer.
No, fuck off. German one's better. Get the fuck out of here.
I was in Bordeaux with Felix and Tom, and we met these Belgians, and we had a 2-hour discussion in French about what beer is the best. Mind you, I was the only one who was able to speak proper French.
Oh my God, I would have liked to witness that discussion.
And by saying proper French, I mean, the more drunk I get, the more hesitation I drop, and I just say,
it's like, fuck it. Boobie Baba!
Boobie Baba! Oh, ho, ho, ho!
I think one thing about the big city it's this weird thing where, like, on the one hand, you're interacting with more people than you could ever be interacting with in a small place, right? Like, if you think about it, like, you're in contact with 1,000 people a day or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, maybe not 1,000 usually, but, like, a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it's also the place where... you can so easily be alone.
Yeah.
And it's also a place that facilitates, like, behavior that would otherwise never be acceptable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I was in Paris with Mooney, actually, and this guy just literally just whipped out his dick and started pissing, just, like, on a random street corner, you know? And, like... 2 p.m. or something, you know? Yeah. It's not like 8 p.m. or something. And then, like...
5 minutes into Paris and chill.
Yeah, literally, you know? And then we went into the metro station, and this guy walks in, and he reeks of piss, you know? And you're just like, ugh. Like, and he was in the same car we were in. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, it's kind of paradox when you think about the more people you have in a certain area, the more anonymous or the more anonymity you create.
The more anonymity you create.
Even though, like, intuitively you would say the more people,
the more connections,
the more
right?
connections, the merrier. But then I think if you have, like, small villages, there is much more familiarity and connection between the people. And the more you get, the more, like, people become anonymous. And also, I've heard this about Berlin universities, because Berlin universities have, like, I think at Humboldt, you have 30 to 40,000 students. And at Technische, it's 50. And I heard that at Technische University, it's so anonymous, because it's just so many people, and they all stay, like, within either their school friend group or within themselves.
Yeah, and so this is something where I kind of feel like, you know, what's great about a big city is you have, like, all of these activities you can always do, right? And then you meet people, right? So, for example, Midnight Runners, we met over this. And there are, like, there are things this way where you can really meet some people and you can have a really good time. But you're also more interchangeable as a person. So this is something I remember from, like, one of my first weekends there. It was, like, I knew some people from the place that I was working who took me, like, who took me out to a techno club. It was like my first techno experience.
And that was Wilde Renate, right?
I think so. But what I remember vividly was, like, first of all, you know, we were like a group of 15 people and we had to split up into like groups of two or three.
And each group gets a girl?
Or a guy who identified, like, who was wearing a dress or something, you know, like, so like a non-binary person or something. So it was like, the only constellation that was not possible was three straight guys.
Yeah.
I was like, you can't take three straight guys at once in the club. And I was like, okay, this is interesting, you know, like, without like a lot of prior exposure to that, I was like, okay, this is interesting. I'm not quite sure what to make of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was pretty much dressed the way I am right now, right?
Yeah.
You know, like just like basic white boy clothing, like sweater, jeans, and give it. And so I go into this club and like one of the first things I see is just this woman literally wearing nothing but two tapes on her boobs. Like that's it. And like a chain around her neck. I was like, okay, here's how it's going, you know? But so then, you know, we got to talking later in the night and she's like, yeah, you know, you always meet such cool people in Berlin, but it's like, if you meet someone while you're out partying or some shit, you never really follow up on it. And it's like, especially if they live more than 20 minutes away or like more than half an hour away, it's not worth it, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, that doesn't have to be the case. So if you really click or if you know you have an activity, but I feel like if you have these fleeting moments where you just meet each other, you're a lot more likely to be like, fuck it. There's like 20,000 other people out there, you know?
Yeah, especially. Yeah, I can understand that.
And so I think this also translates into, for example, dating behavior or all of these types of things, you know? And so I do feel like there's a lot of upside in terms of like, it's easy to meet people quickly.
Yeah.
But it can also be very hard to find like close friends.
I would second this.
Because... even though I have to say personally, Berlin, I had, you know, met Yaro really quick. You know, I mean, I found great friends and it went really smoothly. But like looking at also some other people I know and like in some other big cities, I do feel like that can be a challenge.
And I think also what helps with you is that you are a person who is like you're extroverted, at least in your behavior. And when you're if you are genuinely interested in getting to know a person, then you will also follow through on it. But I feel like if you're going to... I don't want to make this assumption because it might be unfair, but most of the people in Berlin who go out, it's about you have your friends already, you're going out, you might meet new people, but the precedence is never, like, in your head, you never have, I want to meet new people and make friends.
Yeah.
I want to have a good time tonight.
With my friends,
my friends.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
With these new people that I am not seeing again.
Exactly.
And I think this translates also into dating culture in Berlin.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people in my, not friends, but extended, like, people I know, Bekanntenkreis in German, I don't know how to translate this.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, whatever, like peers. It is a similar thing when it comes to dating or hooking up. It's more a matter of like, I'm just looking for someone for this specific time, this specific, and I have no interest in fostering any form of connection or commitment.
I think it's not just that. It's also just like there's so many other people out there.
Yeah.
That it's just like, how do you know you've met the best ones, you know?
But I don't like that mindset, but I get it,
No, I'm not saying that's a good mindset to have. I think it's a very harmful mindset to have.
Yeah.
You know, I even wanted to do some research about this, but I...
No, it is an interesting topic
like,
because...
Also in the context of, like, if you think about, like, companies that hire people nowadays, if you get, like, 300 applicants for a position, I'm actually not convinced that you're going to end up hiring someone better and in a more cost-effective way than if you had like only 20 or 25 participants. People, because you like, you get, you know, if you have that many people to choose from, you have to start selecting on things that are like, might be super irrelevant. But that's another story. But so the point is, I think like a city has great potential. And once you found your group of people in a city, it's fucking amazing, right? Because like, you know, you always have shit to do. It's always fun. But I think finding footing in a city can be very, very tough at the beginning. But can also be tough in a village, right?
So it can. And I think finding footing in a city is easier than finding it in a village. I think the hard thing is to follow it up and not get caught in this trap of like being an acquaintance.
Yeah.
Because I am a person who needs genuine connections.
Yeah.
And if you're in cities, I think the people you meet are not instantly going to be... looking for a new friend. No, they're going to look for someone.
An acquaintance,
yeah. Someone you can party with or something. But then when you're new somewhere, I think you need some anchors.
Yeah, exactly.
Just in order for you to... Because for me, I mean, that's very individual. But for me, home is always connected to people.
Yeah.
Because as someone who moved a lot during his childhood, for me, it's just never about a place. I don't have a place I call home. Yeah. I would say Indonesia is home, but that's because my dad is there.
Yeah.
And because, like, the people I met there have made this place so amazing.
Yeah.
And... then for me now Berlin is home, but it is home because of the people I know, the experiences I was about to make. So it's never about the place itself.
Yeah. No, I second that. And so, yeah, I think a village, you know, we've talked a bit about cities. A village has its specific troubles with that as well, right? One of the advantages is like you see people a lot more regularly.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, to be fair, it's also the university context. But you bump into each other on the road, right?
Like, exactly.
Dude, the amount of people I bump into here, like, on a day-to-day basis is insane. You know, like, just in the city. Or it's like, always, oh, hey, what's going on? You know, it's like, there's always someone you see and you know. And, like, even if you just exchange pleasantries, it's nice, right? And, like, well, I also have that sometimes in Berlin or in, like, big cities, not as much, right? So I think there is upside. Generally speaking, if I'm being honest, I do think that village and suburbs are also more something when you're like considering having kids.
And I was about to say that I think we have this opinion right now about, from what you can hear in this episode now, I think we both prefer living in a more densely populated area.
And, you know, like the fact that I'm not right now has a lot to do with like the university and these types of things. And that's a trade-off I'm very willing to make. But next year, I'm also considering like subletting my place here for a few months and getting a place in Paris to try it out and to see whether I like it, you know?
Exactly.
But I, you know...
Which is a great idea, by the way. Do that.
Definitely. But I, you know, when I was working in Berlin in this like renewable energy startup, well, not a startup, it was a research institute. And
same thing. They burn a lot of funding.
No, they were actually, they got their own funding.
I'm just kidding.
You know, I'm trying to keep a good name about them. It was a really cool place. But even one of the women who was like kind of head of like HR and these types of things, like she told me, you know, like in Berlin, she'd be out with her daughter who was like 4 or something. And you just see people on the other side of the road, like running around with knives and shit. And I do think that's something that you underappreciate. Like if you grow up as a kid in a big city, you're exposed to shit earlier than you would be if you would live in a village, you know, which is not to say villages are perfect. I think they have their own drawbacks. Sometimes, you know, like, especially it can be too small, you know, like,
yeah,
like there's all of the gossip and then something happens and it's like, you know, gossip, I feel like was never such a big thing in bigger cities. It's like, maybe you do have something like, you know, in like one group or something, but it's never like everyone you know knows.
No,
about
it's
this,
not.
You know?
It's not like, a thing. Like, yeah.
It's so you have like maybe one group of friends where something happens, but it doesn't translate to the other group of friends that you have that you sometimes.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And like in a village, I feel like it's like a bonfire. You know, like,
it is.
Everyone hears what's going on,
and everyone's adding fuel to the flame. And then this guy talks with this girl about that guy and everything. And
so I think, you know, it's hard to make a general statement about that, but I do think like, am I glad that I didn't grow up in a city like until a certain age? I think I am. I think I'm very happy about that personally. But it also has, you know, like I don't know. I know some people there were like, yeah, I got robbed the first time I was 15 or something. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Damn, bro, who hurt you? Oh, yeah, he did. Okay.
And that's like, you know, that's some of these risks that you just have in bigger agglomerations of people.
I was thinking about like, because I grew up in a lot of different contexts. And for me, I feel like I've settled that I would want my potential kids to grow up in somewhat of a suburb that is very close, like very good connection to the city.
Mm-hmm.
But it has the like the more the dynamics and security of not being inside of the city.
So there's.
I don't know about Berlin, to be honest, because I would be so scared. Like, not that my child does something stupid. I think some things you can control as a parent, and some things you just have to leave up to like life to happen.
Sure.
And how you raise your children, and then make sure that you trust your children's decisions and everything.
Yeah.
But I think in Berlin there are so many variables as a parent you have no control over. Like if someone on the S-Bahn decides to whip out her genitals and start to defecate. I don't know. I don't know if my children need to see that, and I don't know if maybe in another city they maybe not have to see that.
Yeah. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? Or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. But
no, I fully get you. And you know, I try not to think about this too much because it's like,
because also we're 23 respectively and 24.
Exactly.
So I don't think this is something we have to concern ourselves with right now. But it's something to keep in mind. I would say.
And you know, it's like everything. I think you can have a great time anywhere, and you can have a shitty time anywhere. So
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, you know, if you have some good people, if you have some good context, and it's fun. Like it's fun here, you know. Like have a good time. And like one thing I've noticed, for example, is like I'm like, oh, I'm so close to Paris, but like I never go to Paris, man. It's like it's such a fucking hassle, right? Like in Berlin, and getting it like on the metro for an hour, no worries. But here, it's like it's this whole fucking gargantuan act, and like. And I just, I'm like, oh, I live an hour outside of Paris. And everyone's like, fuck you, dude. You live an hour outside of Paris. What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm like,
I can't be fucked to go to Paris, you know? Like, I need to get a place there, honestly, next year.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, when I went to Peter now, I flew from Berlin, and the flight time is the same time it takes for public transport to get from Orly to Peter's place.
It's horrible.
And yeah. if the cab I took cost the same as my flight ticket.
Yep.
So that's the reality you have in these situations.
But you know, like for example, a place like Fonti has like so many like upsides as well. Like you have this amazing forest, you have the castle. It's like it's such a unique experience here as well that like I think I'd have more issue if I were just living somewhere out in the German countryside.
Yeah,
like
totally.
The random 2,000 village. Like I think this is the prettiest village of France, one of them. But it's still a village, you know. So
And Fontainebleau also has amazing supermarkets with reasonable prices. And
yeah, no, guys, like the prices here are insanity.
So on Saturday we went grocery shopping. We went in and we got stuff and at Monoprix, and it was 50 euros. And then we went for another 30 euro shop at Franprix because we forgot some stuff.
Yep. And oh my god.
On Saturday we did that. It's Monday today. I had to buy new groceries. What did we buy?
I don't know, man. It's a mystery.
By the way, that's also something I feel like food, takeout, and restaurants are cheaper in cities than they are in villages.
That, for some reason, is very true. I think it's just supply and demand. Like, it's even cheaper in Paris than it is here in Fonti. It's like, you pay 20 bucks for, like, some Asian food here, you know?
You're
like, I can get that for 10 in Paris, man. And it's, like, better. Like, the food here is good. But it's better quality, you know?
This is something that I've realized also. Like, in Berlin, we're lucky when it comes to prices of food. Even with the crazy inflation now. This is something... By the way, I also would want to add to this that... large cities in Europe and large cities in, for example, Asia, or you've been to America, you've seen large cities there too.
Yeah.
I think the dynamics are, again, a little bit different because the feeling of anonymity, you don't have it as much in Jakarta as you have it in Berlin. I would say. Maybe that was also due to my age and me being at school still, where you're naturally more in a social group of people that just goes out and about to the city and explores. So take this with a grain of salt. But I also feel like the cultural differences between Germany and Indonesia... In Indonesia, people are much more open, welcoming, and communicative in a city context.
That's true. Like you don't get a lot of these like "fuck yous" that you sometimes get in German transport or like something. You know, like when I was there last year, this woman just pushed me. Like this 50-year-old woman just pushed me, and like. There's nothing you can do, man. You can't push her back.
You had it coming.
Like, I'm a 20-year-old guy. Like, I can't push her back. You know, like, there's nothing I can do except say, what the fuck? That's the only thing I can say. And, like, you feel so stupid because you're just kind of there like, there's nothing I can do here, you know? And so, yeah, I lost my train of thought. But, and so, but, you know, for example, in the US, I really liked it that, like, you know, people just talk to you. But then it also gets to the point where you're like, okay, guys, stop. You know, like, you're at the checkout for the supermarket cashier. And it's like, oh, like, what are you doing today? And it's like, dude, I'm just getting some water.
Let me do my shit.
But, I mean, you know, it's nice. But it's also, like, you also wonder to what extent that's real nice and to what extent that's just, you know, being polite.
It's polite small talk.
And I do think people are also very nice in the US, right? But Like, in Germany, if someone's nice to me, I'm like, oh, that person's actually just being nice to me, you know? Because otherwise people are just, you know, if a waiter in France is nice to me, I'm like, oh, wow, this is a nice waiter.
You know? Exactly.
Like, waiters don't give a fuck. They're like, I'm doing my job here. I don't give a shit about you. You can wait for 2 hours. Fuck off, you know? And, like, on the one hand, that pisses me off because I'm like, ugh. But on the other hand, when someone is nice, I'm like, oh, this is someone who's genuinely being nice to me. You
so
know?
You're saying you need to treat people badly because then when they're being treated
exactly.
well, they value exactly. it more because you get used to being nice. Yeah, okay.
So to anyone who's, I don't know, interacting, just treat people like shit unless you really like them.
And then throw them a bone at some point.
No, I don't know.
Don't do that, maybe.
No, I'm kidding. But I do think you see my point, which is
I
like...
I do see it.
When you do have those interactions, you know, for example, like that French lady in the Frittenblow restaurant, when she was talking to us, like,
yeah.
I was 100% sure she was genuinely interested and wanted to talk to
exactly.
me. Because there was no expectation for her to do this with
no,
me.
No, and she initiated the conversation.
Exactly.
And it was
yeah.
nothing about like, oh, fucking customers, I have to put up
yeah.
a smile
hi,
now.
Hi, how's it going, tourists? You
exactly.
know?
And it was also not a like a generic, oh, how are you?
Yeah.
It was more of a thing like she
yeah.
took something that she noticed about us and started
yeah.
a conversation
exactly.
about that.
And so I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to have these like generic things as well. And, you know, honestly, sometimes I'm very happy to just have like, hey, how's it going? And I'm just like, hey, good. How are you? And that's it. You know, and you're like, that's kind of like you're not necessarily being real, but it's fine. It's like a nice interaction. It's all good.
Have you ever in one of those contexts when someone's like, hey, how are you doing? Just was like terrible. And then see how they react. Because that's never what you expect. Like, if you ask someone, hey, how's it going? The answer is never like, oh, I have such a shitty day. I hate everyone.
You obviously have not spent enough time with PhD students. That's all I'm going to say on this matter. Like, literally, I met, like, 3 people today and was like, oh, I was like, eh. I was like the collective reaction of everyone I saw today.
But I feel like also PhDs are sometimes just people sitting together in a room telling each other how much they're being fucked by the university.
No.
I mean, rightfully so, because it is a
but
massive
amount
of work.
There is a tendency to self, self-sympathize. I don't know what the word is.
Self-loathe.
Yeah, something like that.
But I remember that in school as well. Like, when we used to be younger, it was like, I only slept for 5 hours. Yeah. I only slept for 3
yeah.
hours.
Wait, you guys got sleep? Like, Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't study for the test at all, you know.
And then gets a B.
You know, I was one of those fuckers that was like, oh, I don't know how the test went, and then I always got an A or an A plus.
Yeah, you were one of those people who I sat next to and after, and I was panicking, and afterwards I was like, dude, I failed, I miserably failed, and he was like, don't worry, me too, and
yeah.
then I actually failed, and they got a 2, and I was like, mm-hmm, fuck off.
Yeah, no, I don't know. But you know, the thing is, like, even in hindsight, this is part of why I also study underconfidence. It's like, I genuinely was not sure in those moments.
Yeah.
Even though based on experience, I should have been. Like, because you just do it again and again and
yeah.
you should be like, yeah, I'm going to get it. But like, you know, when you know the material better as well, you also know your own limits somehow. And
yeah.
So you're like, oh, like, I don't know if I did this question correctly. But it is weird because like at some point you should also just be like, okay, I've been good again and again and again. It should be fine now.
But I have a thing about that. Every time in exams that include maths,
yeah.
when I think I did well,
yeah.
I did terrible.
Mm.
When I think I did terrible, I did not terrible because it still went well. And I think the reasoning behind this is when I thought it went well, I was just rushing through it and was making mistakes because I was being too quick in my head. And when it went terrible, it was me killing myself
yeah.
over those tasks
yeah.
and just striking through, doing it again.
Yep.
And that got me more points because it was actually a train
yeah.
of thought and trial and error solving
well,
problems.
If you think it went well, right, that means you think you know everything.
Exactly.
You think you answered everything correctly. And so most of the time people don't know everything when they think they do.
Exactly.
It's only, so it's like, because you just write down everything you know, but you don't really know everything. So it's overconfidence.
Yeah. Oh, now we're there.
So yeah, I don't know how we deviated from this, but
I'm actually not mad about it. It's a fun thing. We finished the episode with some talk about overconfidence.
Yeah. At some point, I'm telling you, in a few weeks, I'm gonna talk about my paper, bro. No,
You've been telling us this for like a year
I'm
now.
I'm not going to. But I do think there is, you know, there's always this thing like, I'll be authentic. I don't think you need to be authentic. Like,
mm-hmm.
when you interact as a person in a group, like, you don't have to be authentic. It doesn't matter, like, with people you just see on a day-to-day. But if all of those interactions during your day are just inauthentic interactions, I think it gets you in the long run.
Yeah, because you don't, I think it's, then something is missing.
Yeah, you feel like you're not interacting as a human, right? Like you feel like you're interacting as a, like, I don't know, like as a facade or
as
something.
As a facade, as a part of a construct, and I so, guess, maybe.
And so I do think it's important that you have those moments of authenticity in your day. And like that can even be saying like, oh, it's shitty today, right? But that's also
beautiful,
but
moments
also,
of authenticity.
Moments of authenticity, you know? But also don't be that guy who's just always like everything's shitty. Unless, of course, you're actually struggling with something serious and you need help. Like, of course, you don't have to pretend that all is good. But there's also sometimes a time and a place, you know? If I'm just like, oh, hey, how's it going? And I'm being cheerful and like, I don't know you that well. Of course, if you want to talk to me about something, feel free to. I always have an open ear and that's exactly. Great. But sometimes it's also like, just play the game, man.
I would also not, like, I wouldn't want to start trauma dumping on everyone that I meet instantly.
Yeah.
And I'm also not doing that badly.
No, I don't. I think most people aren't. And I think actually most of the time people are too afraid to talk about the things that are not going well. Whereas actually, like, when you start talking about it, you notice that other people are struggling as well with their own. Like, everyone has something.
And I want to say as well, you know? Being authentic doesn't mean telling everything is bad. It's just give a bit more nuanced view on what's going on in your life. Like, if someone asks me, how are you doing? I usually try to open up. I'm not going to tell everything, but I want to give more of an answer than, oh, yeah, kind of work has been a bit tiring, but I'm good overall.
Yeah.
I always try to include a little bit of like personality, authenticity into my interactions on a day to day, because I feel like that also makes it easier for the other person to just get a sense and a feeling of, okay, I belong here.
Yeah.
And even if it's just a situation where you talk at the cashier or in my job context.
Yeah. No, I think moments of authenticity are important.
Moments of authenticity. Even though this is not the main topic, I kind of want to give the episode that name.
Moments of authenticity? Sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe to all the listeners out there, reflect about your moments of authenticity. I don't know. Like, I think it's a nice thing when you think about, like, on a day-to-day, like, when are you being authentic really? And, like, in what context, you know, like, and is that good for you or not? Because it's helpful, you know.
And in a second step, maybe you can also ask yourself, am I being authentic and true with myself?
Yeah.
Do I really want to do this? It's not about asking yourself, do I really want to be in the job I'm in or start the existential questions of life? It's more of a matter of, let's say you're going to a social occasion where you have been invited to, but you always, in the back of your head, you're looking for an excuse to maybe, why am I even going there? Or I feel tired or I don't want to think, why am I doing it? Yeah. And if you can't really find a good reason for it, then maybe just take that time for yourself and do something you actually enjoy.
Yeah. You know, I have mixed feelings about that, because I have, you know, I have enough moments where I'm like, I'm tired after a long day or something, like, oh, fuck, man, like, you know, going out and shit. But then, like, 95% of the time when I do go, I'm very happy that I went. Because sometimes it's also about, like, just getting out, talking to people, and you don't really anticipate what that's going to be like until you're there. And so my general take on this is, like, there's this, I think I've mentioned this before, there's this whole explore-exploit trade-off, which is, like, it's, like, this idea of a rugged landscape, where basically there's, like, a bunch of hills in the mountainside, and let's say your goal in life would be to maximize, to get to the top of the highest peak in this landscape. And so the issue is that when you're walking through, and let's say you don't see a lot, it's, like, very misty, you're going to get stuck on something that's good, but you're not sure whether it's the best. And so what you have to do is you have to randomly keep exploring and test whether, you know, all right, I'll do something that might even be harmful in the short term or might not be super fun for the first time, but maybe it'll lead me to something that's actually better than what I'm doing right now. So that's why you should even try activities you don't think you're going to like if you haven't done them before. So let's say you don't think you'd like golfing, right? You should give golfing a try.
You're just saying this because you golf.
Because I golfed and I'm a golfer, bro. Now, hell yeah.
I agree with you, but I think this is not what I was playing at. It's okay. I have to go into myself a bit more, because I am with you on that page. Like, go out of your comfort zone. There is a difference between putting yourself into situations in which you are actually uncomfortable, but not because they're new and you're maybe a bit scared of them, but you're actually not having a good time, but you're doing
it. This is for new stuff, right? Exactly. If it's not something new and you don't want to go, then don't go.
Exactly. This is what I mean. Like should be something, or even if it's something that you already used to do, but you maybe want to take a different approach on it to make look if it's maybe better. But if there is something that continuously is not good for you, then, but you're staying in it because first of all, comfort zone. Second of all, you're scared that it might throw you out of your social group if you don't do it. Usually people think more about themselves than they think about you. And
This is the thing. You also think that everyone's thinking about you and like, I don't know, how did I dress today? Or like,
when I said X, what did Y think about it?
You know, what was a humbling experience for me? I met this big shop professor at something that was organized at Fontainebleau. And like, we talked for a few minutes and for me, this was like, wow, you know, like I met this guy. And then a few months later, I saw him again. He just didn't remember me.
Well, you talk for 5 minutes and he probably meets 1,000 people.
Exactly, right? He meets 1,000 PhD students who all know his work and are all excited, right? And I just met this guy once and I knew his work and it was super exciting, you know? But it's like...
Yeah.
I was shocked. But then thinking about it, I was like, this is great. Like, I can fuck around now. Like, not in like a fuck around, like do stupid shit, but like you can talk to people, you can try shit. And nobody's going to hold it against you if, like, they're going to forget you, you know?
And also, people will form a first impression about you within literally the first second you meet them. So,
No, but I found that also to be weirdly unsettling, but also comforting at the same time. It's like...
Those are the best things when there's ambivalence, when it's both unsettling and comforting. Exactly. Like the universe.
This has been very philosophical. We started with cars...
And then trains, and then cities.
And then shit happened. I don't even know.
Thank you, Annie. This was a great topic suggestion. We dove into things.
Well, I hope that many people are listening and are enjoying some English content. If next episode is going to be French.
and then Mandarin.
Oh, God.
Send this to your friends who speak English and want to listen to a new podcast.
Yes, disseminated.
No, and actually, I think all of you who listen to this have our contact info. So if you want more English episodes, then let us know.
Let us know. We hope you enjoy it. Hope you have a good week.
Yes.
And hear you next week. See you, everyone.
Bis nächste Woche. Dann kommt auch wieder was Deutsches.
Peace out.
Tschüss.